This is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24-7 home of the black and gold. SNR. Steelers Nation Radio.
Just watching the gold medal game here, women's softball.
Oh, this is gold medal. I didn't understand.
This is the gold medal game. USA versus
Japan.
Huh? It's always weird when the Olympics are on the other side of the world like this, and they're being played at odd times.
Yeah, I just assumed this was some kind of play-in game, or some kind of non-super important game. Of course, there's no one in the stands. I'm not super into the Olympics, but every time they're on, and we just happen to stumble in it here, I'm blown away with how athletic and how good these guys are. Like, I had volleyball on last night. Holy smokes. Those guys jump like no one's business and just smack the ball and cover so much court, and their change of direction, and they're all 6'5", and it was like, wow. I was super impressed.
I always like playing volleyball.
It's one of my favorites, actually. Yeah. And, I don't cover a whole lot of ground, but I was actually trying to watch them, like how they spike, how they serve, and they're so high off the ground, and obviously there's technique involved too, but wow. I mean, I was super impressed.
I remember we at UPJ, a couple of, like my one roommate's girlfriend played volleyball in high school, and her roommate had played volleyball in high school. And
both my kids play.
And we went over to just to hit the ball around the one day, and I threw down a spike on one of them, and they're like, you can't do that. I'm like, what?
What do you mean? That's right. That's how you score points.
Like, because I could get up above the net still at that time. And play up there. But
It's a fun game.
Apparently, you can't have a closed fist when you do it.
Is that a rule?
I don't know. I guess your hand has to be open when
you're right.
Do it. I mean,
I've only played pickup, not paid a whole lot of attention type of thing. And my kids have both been in it, but COVID, no one's been in the seats, and But they were, I was shocked how open their hands were. It's not a carry, but the way that they slap the ball and control the ball is impressive. If they hit it high or low or
low or
spin,
tap it over,
spins or right.
Yeah,
but no, I was impressed.
Yeah, interesting.
Same with
stuff.
The softball though. I mean, these women are good.
Yeah, I actually covered the Cal women's softball team a few years ago when they made a run to the Final Four in NCAA Division II.
Cal, you said?
Yeah. And their pitcher was the pitcher on the Canadian national team.
Mm.
And, man, she could throw.
Was she awesome? Yeah. My daughter's played a lot of softball. She's okay, to be honest. It's not like she's listening. I think one of the more unnatural things I've seen in sports is women's softball pitching. And you see it even at, 12-year-old level. There's some pitching coaches that you go pay a lot of money to.
Right.
But they... That just seems so unnatural to me. I can't imagine firing a ball underhand and the timing, and some of them take the ball or their glove and slap it against their leg to keep the timing regular.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, just always being around baseball, not softball growing up, I'm blown away with how good the pitchers are, and it seems like that's obviously the most important thing in the game.
Yeah.
We didn't plan on talking about that.
We didn't plan on talking, but it's on.
It's on,
so
yeah.
We're talking about.
Relevant,
we don't usually do completely live radio. We will,
right.
So interesting, but... as we're doing our completely live radio, Aaron Rodgers has arrived in Green Bay.
Has he really? It's an interesting situation. What I know about it, USA just lost.
They just lost.
Yeah.
Japan.
I didn't know if they played 7 or 9, so I don't have the volume on, of course.
2-0, Japan wins.
Yeah, well, home team. So they get silver here, right?
USA gets the silver.
Okay. Well, let's chat about Aaron Rodgers for a moment.
Okay.
I mean, it seems to me the way that this has all been structured, and maybe because I haven't dug into it as much as I should, it's like the ideal situation for Rodgers, because he plays one more year, makes a good buck, maybe wins a Super Bowl, has a good supporting cast, and clearly will be gone after that year.
Yes.
I think it's really good for Jordan Love, because we threw him in the mix right now.
He would probably sink.
But he's going to play a ton in the preseason.
Because he hasn't played a game.
He hasn't played a snap. Yeah, right. And I thought he was... more so than most first-round picks, needed all the work he could get. I think it's great for the Packers fans, because I think only Tampa is ahead of them in the NFC right now. And you know what's coming. You can get excited about, we're going to get picks for Rodgers. It's good for Devontae Adams. He's probably going to sign a big contract next, too. And he gets to play with his buddy for at least one more year. They were kind of... showing
See, I don't
things.
Know the, I don't know that Adams re-signs a big deal there now.
Maybe it's only a one-year deal, and they both go their separate
He's
ways.
He's under contract for the season, right?
Oh, he is. Right.
So I think he just
was making us think about it.
I think he plays out the string and says, well, if Aaron Rodgers isn't going to be here, I don't know that I want to be here long-term.
No, I think that's the way it goes, too. I think he makes this one and then makes a fortune in the offseason.
Yeah.
So, but then the Packers can prepare, too. I mean, that's why I think it's good for them is you sit there for a year going, we have the MVP, we have a star. But we know the day's coming where, sort of like Steelers, you know, we're going to open up some cap space. We're going to get some draft picks for this guy. And Love already has a pretty good supporting cast. Probably win double-digit games again.
Yeah, I think the way that the contract is going to be written is he's a free agent after this year.
No, I'm sure he's a free agent after that year because the Packers wanted to make sure that they could trade him. You know, that they wanted to make sure that the world knew that he would be leaving. And but they were gonna they were not gonna allow to take nothing for him. So someone's gonna trade for Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, the deal expires after the 2022 season.
Yeah,
they're wiping out the 2023 season. That's what it,
exactly.
That's
exactly.
What I got. I was thinking they were wiping out next season.
So he's very tradable. I mean, again, everyone knows what's coming. He's going to make that one more deal and then probably extend him.
I know Steeler fans are, oh, hey, Ben Roethlisberger's going to be done. And
I think the Steelers are going to be linked to him a ton. I think it's as good a landing spot or as logical a landing spot as anywhere in the league I can find, to be very honest with you. And I don't mean to, like, get everyone super excited. I'm not predicting it.
What would you give up for Aaron Rodgers? Like, I'm not giving up multiple first-round draft picks for a quarterback who's 38.
I know. That's actually my sticking point is because they have the cap space to do it. I would think Green Bay would prefer to ship him to the AFC. They're certainly not going to keep him in division.
Right.
And there's other teams that I'm sure would probably outbid the Steelers. But this would be a really attractive spot with the Steelers receivers, running
defense.
Back, defense. And, you know, you could tell them we're going to work on the offensive line. But, again, two firsts, three firsts.
Yeah, I'm not doing
that.
I don't
know that the Steelers
I'm not interested
do that.
In doing that.
And here's an interesting conversation, too, though. I hear this all the time. Like, I've brought it up for a while now. The Steelers can go get Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
And people tell me, well, that's not what they do. Well, I'm like, they haven't been looking for a quarterback for 18 years. How do you know what they do? You know,
here's the thing about that.
It's different than drafting Omar Jacobs in the fifth round.
The people that say, well, the Steelers are very conservative. They don't do these kind of things.
I don't know that's true.
They traded up for Devin Bush, including moving a bunch of picks there. They traded for Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Right. No one thought that.
They've worked outside what their normal parameters are for the last few years. They've been more aggressive.
I think there's a misconception that because they've been owned by the same people and the same quarterbacks and centers and certainly coaches for all of our lifetimes that they're conservative, they're old school. The Rooneys are very forward-thinking. You know, I mean, Dan Rooney had all sorts of new ideas for the league, and it's not like we only do things one way and that's the only way we're going to do it. I think the history shows quite the opposite.
Yeah, I just don't – to me, the sticking point is I'm not interested in giving up multiple – first-round draft picks.
I knew we were going to have this conversation. And
for
a guy
who's going to be 39 next year. Now, right. I'll say this. The base salary is $25 million next year.
It's not bad.
That's not bad at all.
And I would guess wherever he goes, assuming it's a good year this year, he's going to want an extension.
But there's – does Tom Brady playing – he turns 44 this week.
Right.
Does that change your thinking on that? Okay, quarterbacks can play.
Yeah. I mean, if Rodgers won the MVP last year. If he's in contention this year and isn't showing any signs of slowing down, I would think a 3-year deal, 2-year deal that you can get out of. I don't know.
I don't know. That's just
multiple firsts.
If he were 35, I think the conversation is different.
Right. If it's like a Stafford type of move.
Yeah.
You know,
then I'm okay. If it's multiple first-round draft picks, I'm okay with that because you're going to get 5 or 6 years out of the quarterback. I'm not interested in trading two first-round draft picks for a guy who might only play one or two more years.
No, I think that's very logical. And assuming the bottom doesn't fall out of the Steelers and it's not a super high pick, I'm not sure the 18th pick in the draft gets it done if I'm Green Bay, if you're fighting with Denver or Houston or Carolina.
Here's the other part of the equation on this. Okay, Rodgers is going to be on the move.
Yeah.
Somewhere. That team is likely already going to have an established quarterback who would then also, like, let's say it's the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, now Derek Carr's on the move.
Oh, the musical chairs of it all.
It's the musical chairs situation that we've seen the last couple of years here at the quarterback position.
Because Green Bay doesn't need one back.
Yeah.
It's going to open a vacancy.
And all of a sudden, let's say Carr goes to Minnesota, and now Minnesota says, oh, we're going to move on from Kirk Cousins. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
there's definitely that. That happens in the league now a lot. The one thing about the Steelers that no matter what team I was in charge of, I'd really hate to trade multiple firsts because you don't know when you're going to need them, and that's the pipeline, and that's what the league's all about, in my opinion. But even if he's only a $35 million cap hit next year, you can set yourself up. They're not going to lose anyone they don't want to lose. The Javon Hargraves of the world.
Yeah.
You know, guys like that that you knew it was coming, but I didn't want to lose him. You know, so at least you could keep your own, but you could get old real quick.
You can, yeah.
Even if you're grabbing guys outside the organization on first, coming off their first contract.
The other part of the equation is that, okay, whatever team then trades for Aaron Rodgers, are they going to take a quarterback in the first round? Which they may have done.
Sometime you should.
Sometime you should. Or you can't do it next year because you just traded first round draft pick to do it.
Right, and he didn't seem to make him the happiest guy in the world a couple years ago.
Yeah. The Packers probably aren't taking a quarterback in the first round because they're going to see it unless Love completely stinks this offseason.
Right.
In which case, then they may not want to trade Rodgers.
Or they might want a quarterback in return.
Yeah.
Maybe Carr is part of that deal. You know what I mean?
So it's all the machinations of you know, Deshaun Watson's going to be on the move next year.
Yeah, he's going to be on the move, if not sooner.
And Houston's going to draft a quarterback next year.
You would sure think so, and they're going to pick probably very high.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's one.
Mm-hmm.
Jacksonville's not taking a quarterback. Mm-hmm. The Jets aren't taking a quarterback.
Teams that could be really bad, is that what you're thinking?
Yeah.
I would think it's pretty – Detroit could.
Detroit could.
Should.
Are the Giants going to take a quarterback? What if Daniel Jones has –
The Giants and Dolphins are sort of interesting.
Yeah, because they're kind of in no man's land right now. They've got young starters. What if those guys have okay years?
See, I think they could be, I don't want to say Kyler Murray, you know, Rosen situation, but if you're picking high and this guy's been there a little while, Daniel Jones has a similar year to what he's done, I bet you move on. But to the how about the Steelers, though? Do you want a Tua or a Jones and maybe mix them with Rudolph and a pick? Or,
it depends on what the cost is. You know,
right. You get those guys a lot cheaper.
We saw them bring in Haskins, and you know, like he didn't cost them a lot. He didn't cost them anything. Like, in this case, if it's a fifth-round draft pick or a fourth-round draft pick for a quarterback who's still on his rookie deal, okay, we'll take a shot.
And he may be the two.
Yeah.
Right. You know, even like, let's say Tua gets hurt in week two, and Brissett leads that team and they do okay, or they have a terrible year and they're picking in the top five. Well, time to move on from Tua, you know, like pick him up for nothing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think there's a lot of guys that could be on the move. And you're right. The dominoes and the musical chairs are sure to happen because I think we now know Watson and Rodgers will be on different teams and they'll be the starters in 2022.
Unfortunately, it's kind of like what happened to the Steelers after Bradshaw retired.
Mm-hmm.
Or was done, however you want to call that. You know, you had Woodley and Stout, you had Stout and Malone.
Mm-hmm. And Malone was a first-round pick, people forget.
Malone was a first-round pick. But then you bring in guys like David Woodley, who would, again, a failed starter
Miami.
They got, you know.
I mean, all the way down to Tom Zach and guys like that were probably backups.
You're cycling guys through there who, you know, he started some games for this team or he was a high draft pick for that team.
So I give two firsts for Aaron Rodgers.
I just think I think it's such a different situation now because of the salary cap that we're seeing more quarterback movement than ever before in the league.
Oh, yeah. I think that's 100%
true. The last 2 years have been nuts.
Well, I think you want to avoid at the quarterback position, and that's the kind of the era. It's different with the finances, as you mentioned, but you don't want to be in Matt Schaub land, you know, and I think the Steelers were until Ben for the most part. Kirk Cousins is an obvious example. Kirk Cousins is even a better example because he's good, you know.
But he's not great.
13th, 14th best quarterback in the league. And most Sundays, the quarterback on the opposite side is probably better, you know, like keep the ball out of his hands.
About half the Sundays.
At least half, right. Yeah. And he's a $30 million cap hit, though. I mean, that's the problem is, like, Cleveland needs to figure out if that's Baker. You know, I mean.
And like, I think it is.
I think it is, too, but he's more talented than Cousins. I mean, he was the first overall pick in the draft. I'd rather play against Cousins than Mayfield. But that's the thing. You know, Jared Goff was that guy.
Yeah.
You know, these guys are going to get $30 million.
Well, that's the part of the equation that's changed. It used to be you'd have quarterbacks scattered throughout the first round.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all of a sudden, all the quarterbacks go in the top 10 picks.
Yeah, right.
In the first round. It's very, you know, you don't see a lot.
And then they become starters.
They're certainly, they don't get past the 15th pick in the middle of the first round.
Yeah, Mac Jones was, I think, 15.
Yeah.
Right. But he was a fifth one taken.
I mean, the only reason Lamar Jackson falls to you know, the end of the first round is that there were, what, four quarterbacks picked in the top 10 that year.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody picked quarterbacks.
Like, I've done a little bit of looking ahead. Quarterbacks, you know, coming out next year, and everyone's talking about, yeah, but he's not really a first round pick. I'm like, he's going to first round, huh?
Yeah,
I'll tell you that right now.
And he probably goes in the top 15 picks,
right? Like Sam Howell from North Carolina looks like a promising player. A lot of people compare him to Mayfield. He's not really super toolsy first round. I'm like, he's going to first round. I'll tell you that right now, unless he's a disastrous season.
Yeah.
There's no doubt in my mind he's going to first round, right in the top 10.
That's just the way it works,
right?
Though.
He's going to be the Giants' new quarterback.
Because it's you know, when you look at the quarterback contracts being thrown around. You know, to get an average starter is $25 million.
Right. I mean, I'd rather take a chance on – I don't think Daniel Jones is very good, but I'd rather draft Daniel Jones and pay him rookie money and have a fifth-year option than give $32 million to Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
Who I know
fully
who
guaranteed.
And I know Cousins is better than Jones, but I have 20 more million to play with.
The ceiling is
– Right. Yeah. So that's obviously going to be a big Steeler conversation.
Absolutely, and we'll continue to keep an eye on that. But, you know, it gets down to the Carson Wentz situation.
Right.
Same thing.
And Darnold. I mean, there's so many examples.
These guys changed.
Even Jameis Winston. Yeah. You know, right.
So we'll see how that all works out. But the Aaron Rodgers now will be a Packer. He won't be coming to the AFC this year.
Yes. So Sean Watson's going to move, too. Maybe even this year.
It makes things easier, I think, in the this year for the Steelers. I know, the Broncos were a team that everybody's talking about. Well, they could be a surprising team. Not if they don't have Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I think that ship sailed. Yeah. If it's Bronco Nation Radio, it's like, well, maybe we'll get them a year from now.
You know? And by then, maybe Von Miller's gone. You know, that's just the way
yeah.
it works out.
Right. So. Or maybe they draft some stud with the fifth pick overall and add Aaron Rodgers. I mean, who knows? I mean, interesting. Lots going to change.
It sure is, but we're going to take another break. He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We're going to take a break. Be right back after this.
You're tuned to The Drive on your 24/7 home of the black and gold, Steelers Nation Radio.
So, Matt, Sunday, you got a chance to talk to Terrell Austin, the Steelers defensive back
coach,
in regards to what's going on in his position. And obviously a lot of the focus was on, you know, what's going on at the slot cornerback
position. Sure.
And right now it's Arthur Millett and Antoine Brooks rotating at the slot cornerback position.
Pretty bad. I'm going to say pivotal. It's not like his job's in jeopardy, but Terrell Austin's got a lot on his plate right now.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got a lot of guys.
Essentially,
what they
have is four guys battling for one spot.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know Joe Hayden's going to be at one spot.
Yeah.
You know that Cam Sutton's going to be at another.
You want to leave him there.
Yeah, those are they're going to be in your top four. You know that Edmonds and Fitzpatrick.
I assume they'll go left
right
again.
Yeah.
You know.
Edmonds and Fitzpatrick are going to be in the starting lineup. Your starting lineup and your base defense is set.
Right, but that's only 30% of snaps.
Right.
You know what I mean? So there's still a spot or two that needs to shake out.
So the key here now is, are they going to want to play Lane or Pierre on the outside and slide Sutton inside? Or do Millett or Brooks win the starting slot job and then they can just leave Sutton on the outside?
Mm-hmm. And there will be times when you play four corners.
There'll be times when you go to dime defense where you need to, what they need to figure out, what they're figuring out right now is if they have another capable slot cornerback on the roster. If that guy wins the starting slot cornerback job, great.
Great, right. I mean, that's the ideal situation.
Yeah, if he doesn't, he's your backup. Sutton slides inside on passing downs, and either Lane or Pierre are playing on the outside.
So in a way, not only are those four fighting for the slot job, but they're also fighting Pierre and Lane, though, too.
Correct. Because even though they play completely different positions.
Right. They're both CBs, but it doesn't matter. Yeah. They don't play the same way at all. So really, I think what the ideal situation, and not what they're counting on, but how they've set this up, because a lot of people have been hard on the Steelers. They didn't address corner enough. Well, there's only so many picks you can make. You know, you can't have everything. So what if only two of those guys step up? You'd be in good shape. I mean,
yeah, if two of the four step up, you're fine.
You're fine. Or two of the six.
Right.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I mean, if Lane and Brooks are both good players, you're in really good shape.
Yeah.
You know, you have
you got your backup on the outside. You got your backup or starting nickel.
Yep. And you can play all four at once sometimes, and Brooks has safety experience.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't think that's far-fetched. It doesn't even have to be those two. It could be Pierre. It could, you know. So what if Lane or Pierre is so good that they need to see the field? You know, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Because then you're also looking at a Hayden replacement in time or, you know what I mean? So, you know, the big picture stuff. So I know those guys aren't all huge household names, but if two of the six turn into players, you know, guys that, you know, need to be on the field, you're in pretty good shape. Yeah. And that's not asking much.
I bring this up because the Steelers released their first depth chart of the year over the weekend. And people immediately freak out about it. Like, oh, my God, this guy's listed over that guy. And
yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Right.
We talked about Kendrick Green early in the show. He's listed as the backup center.
Okay.
Yet he's taking all the first team snaps.
Yes. Right. And once you get into nickels and things like that, too, I mean, some of these depth stars don't even have them around the league.
And this one does, and they list Brooks over Millett. But again, they're rotating daily.
Daily.
These are battles. There's nothing set. This is written in pencil, to be sure.
Yes.
And it was not done, I would almost guarantee it was not done by Mike Tomlin.
That's what I was about to say, too. That's funny you took the words out of my mouth. Some coaches care about that. Some don't really care at all what ends up on the official media depth chart, you know. I mean, and some manipulate it, you know. Some move it around to throw people off the
send
scent,
send a message
within their own team, or hey, don't take anything for granted, or boy, this is a gift, you know. Kendrick Green's earned it; he gets to be the starter. And a lot of coaches just have other better things to do. They don't care about it.
They're way too busy during training camp time.
They're watching the tape of the competition instead of filling out a depth chart.
So the starters at wide receiver listed as, they list three, Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, Juju Smith-Schuster. No surprise there.
Is it new that teams now list three receivers as a?
Not, I think a lot of teams do now because so many teams play, you know, 13 personnel.
Yeah.
Or not 13, 11.
I let it slide, 11 personnel.
You know what I meant.
Yeah, I knew.
The offensive line is listed as, from left to right, Chukwuma Okorafor, Kevin Dotson, J.C. Hassenhauer right now.
Yeah, we just talked about that.
Trey Turner, Zach Banner.
Mm-hmm.
Kendrick Green has obviously been at center. But we haven't seen that line together yet on the field.
Okay.
Guys have been in and out of the lineup.
Yeah, we talked about earlier, last hour, how the center situation was an issue, obviously.
The only guy
who... you fully expect opening or Hall of Fame first snap for that to be the starting guards and tackle with Green at center?
No, I think they're going to play Dan Moore at left tackle. Just to get in the experience.
Oh, okay.
We'll see. I mean,
maybe even right guard change? Just because of veteran.
It's just a weird, like, they came out with a lineup for that first practice, and Mike Tomlin was asked about that. He obviously asked a lot about Kendrick Green there, and he said, just, you know, those are the guys we want to play in the Hall of Fame game. They're going to start the Hall of Fame game.
Okay.
Chukwuma Okorafor hasn't done much thus far. Mm-hmm. They're kind of easing him into it. Kevin Dotson hasn't done much thus far. They're you know, kind of easing him into it. Zach Banner practiced the first day and hasn't practiced since. And I asked Tomlin about that on Sunday, and he said, well, when the pads come on, you know, we're just kind of being cautious with him. When the pads come on, you're going
to
see
it. It's awful hard to evaluate linemen right now, too.
Yeah, they're not doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, they wanted to get some of these other guys. Like Trey Turner's been
one. You can stand next to them as they do drills and take mental reps and probably be just as good off, especially for veterans.
Turner's been the one constant out there.
Okay. That might be by his choice.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't get any OTAs. You're trying to get him up to speed as much as possible. He's had four practices.
And actually going through it in the footwork and the steps.
That's why the people who are saying, well, I've heard Trey Turner doesn't look good. He's had four practices.
He's had four practices and hasn't hit anybody.
Yeah.
Unless he's falling on his face and runs it, you know,
yeah.
pulls the wrong way and everyone's yelling at him.
Let's see.
I don't know how you evaluate that.
Yeah, let's see how that looks. Ebron listed as the starter at tight end with Pat Freiermuth, Zach Gentry, Kevin Rader, Dax Raymond after him.
Okay. We've talked about this a little bit, but I think it's interesting. There's a third tight end battle.
Yeah.
I mean, those three names are kind of interesting to me. You know, it's put up or shut up time for Gentry. Raider's a guy we've kind of liked. And Raymond's not a throwaway.
No, he's been a guy that's stuck around on NFL rosters for a few years now. The running back is listed Najee Harris, Benny Snell, Anthony McFarland, Jalen Samuels at four, and then Kalen Ballage, the new guy.
I kind of hope it goes Ballage two in a way when it's said and done. I mean, actually, I hope it goes McFarland too, that he gets regular carries.
I think he's going to be regular on the field.
Yeah.
On game days. And then you're
I would like to see Ballage beat out Snell and certainly Samuels for if Harris were out, who's the top guy?
See, I think you could see a mix of Ballage and Snell with McFarland sprinkled in. I don't think Jalen Samuels has a spot in this team.
I don't either.
There's nothing special there about it.
I'm not a Ballage fan, in all honesty, but I do think he has some big, strong, fast, good receiver traits. But I don't think he's a very natural runner.
Quarterback is listed as Roethlisberger, Rudolph, Haskins, Dobbs.
Haskins over Dobbs, I think, is kind of interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's
the natural. But right,
yeah, I think that's what you would expect.
Yeah. But Dobbs has been here. I just thought, you know, kind of a respect thing.
He's also not been here.
He's also not been here, right?
You know, he was on the free agent market this year, and nobody else tried to sign him. I mean, I think there's – you could cut Josh Dobbs today and get him back in November, I think.
I was thinking that, too. Like if it's – I'm sure we'll talk about it at final cuts, but if he doesn't make it and he's a free agent, even after looking good in the preseason, I'm sure some Steeler fans will be up in arms, especially if he outplays Haskins. But I don't think there's going to be a huge market for him. I don't think anybody's going to be grabbing him.
On the defensive line, it's Hayward. These are the defensive – what they list is a defensive tackle. They list Tuitt as a defensive end.
Okay.
So a defensive tackle, they have Hayward, Mondu, Isaiah Loudermilk. Okay. Loudermilk is a big, big dude.
Does he stand out?
I wasn't sure about the pick. I mean, he looks – You stand
he didn't get
him
a
next
lot of hype from the draft picks and stuff, right?
You stand him next to Mondu, Isaiah Buggs, Carlos Davis, some of these other guys on the roster, even Chris Wormley.
Mm-hmm.
He looks much more like Hayward and Tuitt than those guys do.
I bet the length and the height and is he thick like them?
Yeah.
See, I thought he might be more in a way this
Kiesel like.
Yeah. Yeah. Even
he's thick.
Younger Aaron Smith like.
Yeah. He's thick.
Is he thick? So I that was actually going to be my note.
With the long arms and what they saw there, the body
traits.
Type.
And again, it kind of doesn't make a big difference, but because Tuitt and Hayward really aren't different, and one's an end and one's a tackle. I thought Loudermilk would be with the ends.
Yeah, well, I mean, he is, but he isn't,
because
Hayward's an end.
Right, they list
him a defensive tackle.
And always bothered me they called those guys ends anyways because they're not on the end of the line. There's outside linebackers outside of them who also don't back the line, and that bothers me, but that's okay.
One thing we haven't seen yet, Tuitt has been at practices, but he's not practiced yet. He's still coming. His brother was killed in a hit-and-run accident in the offseason.
Terrible.
He's still working his way back into shape. I'm sure there was –
I'm sure there's no rush.
There's no rush with that. They know what he is.
Mm-hmm.
He was the one guy, if you remember when we talked about this a couple weeks ago, about the players who got the top players at each position, was the only other defensive tackle in the league who got a vote.
Oh, yeah, as number two, I think, besides Donald.
Donald got all the first place votes except for one.
Mm-hmm.
Tuitt got that.
Yeah, a little alarming, but, I mean, he has that kind of ability without question.
Well, there were three players last year in the AFC who had double digits in sacks, who reached double digits in sacks. It was Watt, it was Myles Garrett, and Tuitt.
Yeah, I mean, one doesn't look like the other.
Yeah.
Quick question for you, and we could go back to the depth chart, but you've mentioned a lot of these guys that haven't been playing or been watching. I would think starting today and especially tomorrow, you're going to want to get those guys going. get back in there.
Well, they're not going to play
two at a side.
Yeah, a lot of them aren't going to play in that first preseason game. But yeah, you do have to start ramping things up here for the second preseason game because you definitely want your lineup out there for that one.
The standing around getting mental reps is great, but hey, we need to get this thing rolling.
Yeah. At outside linebacker, left outside linebackers, Watt, Cassius Marsh, Quincy Roche, Jamar Watson. Mm-hmm. On the right side, it's Alex Highsmith, Melvin Ingram, Jameer Jones.
Nice. Yeah. Sounds a lot better with that Ingram in there.
Yeah. And Ingram can play either side. That's the nice thing about that. He's played both sides. You see him stand up every once in a while. You see them standing all those guys up, really.
And it'll probably be a storyline, but I don't think it'll matter at all in terms of usage. But Ingram could maybe end up being the starter on that piece of paper when it's said and done, you think?
No.
You just think it's Highsmith's job?
I think they keep Highsmith there.
They Ingram when they signed him, and, you know.
Well, he didn't say that, but Highsmith's the guy that they have under contract long term.
Mm-hmm.
I think
he didn't do anything wrong. It's not like it's a shot to him, you know.
I think Ingram's better used now at 32 for that 15 to 20 snaps per game that you're going to get out of him.
Yeah, yeah. But you think he'll come off the left side too?
Yeah, I think he'll play both sides and be the backup of both.
Yeah.
And there's value there.
Oh, there's a lot of value there.
Yeah. At cornerback, you got left cornerback, you got Joe Hayden, Justin Lane, DeMarcus Acy, Stephen Denmark.
Mm-hmm.
On the right side, it's Cam Sutton, James Pierre, Mark Gilbert, Shakir Brown.
Okay. Wait. Is Brown a guy that you mentioned in that slot conversation? Remember you said there's four or five of them? Is he not in that mix?
No.
Okay. I thought he was going to be a true slot.
They're using Brooks and Millett there. That's mm-hmm. who they list as their nickel corners, their slots. Brown hasn't
been involved in that. No. Okay.
I mean, they get down to third and fourth units.
Yeah, right.
But he's listed on the outside right now.
That shocks me a little bit.
It is what it is. At the safety position, I do find it interesting that they have Lane listed behind Hayden and Pierre behind Sutton. Because if you make that move where Sutton goes inside, does that mean Pierre is the guy who steps in there? I don't know. I mean, I think that has to be determined.
I mean, I guess something you have to watch is just how many reps on the right is Lane taking? Are they all on the left? Are they all on the right? You know,
they mix it up a little bit.
I'm sure they do.
At safety. And this is one that I was asked, who's the third safety? I don't think they have a third safety.
Mm-hmm.
I think it depends on who's not out there.
Okay.
Because you have Minka Fitzpatrick at free safety. Behind him is Trey Norwood.
Okay. So they think he's a free.
Yeah. And then Donovan Steiner. It's strong safety. It's Terrell Edmonds, Miles Killebrew, Lamont Wade.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Killebrew is clearly the backup strong safety, right?
But if something happened to Minka Fitzpatrick, I don't know that he would automatically step in the lap. They wouldn't slide Terrell Edmonds, wouldn't think, over to free safety.
I wouldn't think.
They would might go with Trey Norwood.
Brings me back to Malik Hooker a little bit.
Well, he's not available.
Did he get signed by
signed with Dallas.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that. Okay, I missed it over the weekend. Yeah, that's what worries me a little.
There are guys like that available. There are free safeties. Well, he started 15 games in the league.
He's played in the league.
Yeah.
If they're good on special teams, I'd consider it. But,
yeah.
You know. I mean,
Malik Hooker, to me, can't stay healthy.
Oh, I'm sure the medical is
can't stay
a
healthy.
Problem, yeah.
You know, people that wanted to sign him, I get it. He's a name.
Because he's a brand name.
Coming out of school
guy, right.
And he's a local guy.
Right.
But he's never played 16 games in his career.
No. It's
can't stay healthy.
No. I think he had issues at Ohio State, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of a big deal.
It is.
But
your docs have to sign off on it. If they aren't signing off on it, then you're not signing them.
Right. That's the depth chart. I don't read a whole lot into it. I mean, you can look at it and
look at.
Twist yourself into pretzels trying to figure out. That
yeah.
Doesn't matter until.
And what they don't have there is truly how people would slot. If this guy gets hurt, then this guy gets hurt.
Yeah.
Well, then we move this guy from over to slot corner. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And depth charts are very linear. You know, that's not how they're built.
Yeah. So I'm sure the one that's in the coach's office looks different than that one.
And in their heads, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they talk about that all the time. If this guy goes down, then who do we plug in?
Yeah. But that's going to do it for this segment. So he is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. We're going to be back to finish up the show right after this.
You're tuned to The Drive on your 24/7 home of the Black and Gold. Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. It's fantasy football time, so we're going to do the fantasy football focus. And as we've been doing here, we're going to do our mock draft. We use the draft wizard on fantasypros.com. We'll go over the team names here real quickly. The Crispy Kareems are at number one.
Okay.
Two is the Stairway to Evans.
Nice.
Three is the Sutton for Punishment. Four is the Hurdy-Gurley Man. We've heard that
one before.
Five is the Pump the Drakes.
Okay.
We've had that one, I believe.
Yeah, we've seen that one too.
Six is the Orange Sherberts.
Nice.
Yes. Seven is Chark Week. We've had that one. Eight is your personal favorite, I believe, the Taylor Swifts.
Yes.
You have to use that name on one of your teams this year.
I'm going to have to, without question.
Nine is the For Netflix and Chill. Oh, Netflix and Chill.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, I see. 10 is the Ingram Toenail.
Nice. Well done.
And we're up at 11 today.
No,
we're picking at 11. And 12 is I Don't Want No Chubb.
Okay.
So the first 10 picks have been McCaffrey, Henry, Cook, Kamara, Taylor, Kelsey, Barkley, Elliott, Jones, Chubb.
Jones deserves to be back in the first
round.
He's
back in the first round.
Yeah.
Now, the question for us is, the top two suggestions for us are Tyreek Hill and Davante Adams.
Okay. I would take a back here.
Well, the top backs available, you're looking
Eckler
at...
Eckler or Najee or...
You're looking at Joe Mixon, Antonio Gibson, Najee Harris, Eckler.
I'd like to get two of those guys. I'd love to end up with... Mixon would be my last choice, but Gibson, Harris, Eckler, if we could get two of those guys, I would be very thrilled.
I think we take Harris here.
I'm fine with it, yeah.
Yeah. We've had some people asking us to take Harris in the first round.
Yeah,
this is the spot where you do it.
Okay.
So we take Najee Harris in the first round. The picks after us, Tyreek Hill, Davante Adams.
Oh, wow. Boom. So there you go.
Do you take Eckler here, or we're going to have a long wait here. Stephon Diggs is sitting there.
I get it. Diggs would probably be my wide receiver one.
Yeah. I think the volume is going to be
Adams,
there.
Over Hill, I would take Eckler.
The running back still left.
I know I'm boring, but I go running back, especially late in the first, all the time. I mean, all of a sudden, Akers is in the equation, you know.
All right.
I'm sure there's plenty.
We'll take Eckler.
I mean, all respect to Diggs. I think he's my wide receiver one.
A lot of teams mad at us right now.
Yeah.
We doubled down. We're back up at 311. See, here's why I kind of wanted to see if we took the wide receiver, what would happen here. Because this is where Daryl Henderson's now slotting in at.
See, I think he's still a little bit too cheap.
Like, if you get him at 311,
yeah.
After you had taken, say, Stephon Diggs, like,
that's nice.
Now you got a nice.
It is. I actually almost brought that up because he was even going. Last time I did this, I think he was going like mid fourth.
Right. He's going to continue to move up the board.
He should be mid to early third.
Yeah.
In terms,
maybe
of
even by the time this is done, might be going in the second.
Maybe.
Because the other backs available right now are Carson. It's Carson, Henderson, Miles Sanders, Miles Gaskin.
Okay. See, I still have hope for Sanders, but I think Henderson's appealing.
You know, and then you're looking at Kareem Hunt. So the running backs are drying up. They're drying up, but I think if we'd have gone wide receiver there, we might have been.
Probably would have taken Henderson then right now.
The wide receivers available, Mike Evans.
Solid.
Keenan Allen, CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper, the top guys available. Our top suggested pick is Mike Evans.
I think Evans and Allen are super not sexy. But they're like on Hall of Fame careers and put up 1,200 yards every year.
The other guy I would consider there would be Lamb.
He's a little risky for me.
A little risky, but my goodness. I mean, put it this way, I wouldn't be opposed.
I'd take Lamb over Cooper.
I wouldn't be opposed to taking Evans and hoping that Lamb falls with our next pick because we're going to make another pick here.
I'm perfectly fine with that.
Let's do it.
My only question would be Evans versus Allen, but I'm perfectly fine with Evans.
Yeah, CeeDee Lamb was the next pick. Actually, the next two picks were CeeDee Lamb and Daryl Henderson, the two guys that we talked about.
They did well.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
That worked out well for Team 12.
Yeah. So now we're back up again here. The top suggested guy is Keenan Allen. You're looking at Amari Cooper, Mark Andrews, Kyler Murray.
Any other tight ends of note?
I'm assuming if we're down to Andrews that... Hawkinson's still there. Hawkinson, Kyle Pitts is still there.
Allen's really good. I don't think we've ever owned him. I think he's really boring. But he produces every week, every year.
Like clockwork.
Yeah.
Julio Jones also still available. Chris Godwin's still available, but we've already got Mike Evans and Amari Cooper are the other guys at the running back position. You're looking at Chris Carson, Miles Sanders, Miles Gaskin, Kareem Hunt.
I think I'd lean towards Allen.
All right, take Keenan Allen.
All right.
Ordinary's grits.
Mike
Evans, Keenan Allen. We haven't ended up with those guys.
No.
Okay. We are back up again here. It's starting to dry up a little bit. The top suggested player for us is Odell Beckham. No thank you.
Mm.
The next guy is Russell Wilson, Miles Gaskin, Kareem Hunt. I don't like any of that.
No, I don't love it. I think Russell Wilson, I've been thinking about him over the weekend. He seems like he starts the next tier after the Kylers and Allens. That might be selling him a little bit short. I mean, new offensive coordinator.
Well, here's an interesting.
I think they'll throw a fair amount.
The top quarterbacks available, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers.
I'd take Wilson over Rodgers.
Yeah, Justin Herbert, Tom Brady.
Yeah. We'll probably get one with the next pick, though.
Yeah, we're going to.
Any tight ends of note? Hawkinson, or they all go?
Dallas Goedert, Noah Fant, Tyler Higbee, Robert Tonyan. So we missed out on the tight end.
Not getting great news that Ertz is going to leave either.
Yeah. The wide receiver position is Odell Beckham, T. Higgins, Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool.
I might take Deontay. I'd take either Steeler over the other two you mentioned.
Yeah.
I think Deontay catches a lot of balls.
I think so as well. Let's make the pick.
Okay.
Deontay Johnson. Now we got two Steelers.
We
probably can't take another. Ooh, and a pick right after us, Javonte Williams and Russell Wilson.
I would have considered Wilson. I don't think the other quarterbacks are worth it.
Javonte Williams would have been interesting there, too.
Yeah, he would have.
The top running backs available. We still haven't gotten our third running back.
No, we should be in that market.
One of these guys is not like the others, though. Miles Gaskin, Mike Davis, Kareem Hunt, Travis Etienne.
I might take Etienne. To roll the dice. Third
to roll
guy
the dice. The other one I would consider would be Mike Davis.
Yeah. I would not take Hunt.
I would not take Hunt. I would not take Gaskins.
No. Let's take either one's fine with me. Your call. I think Etienne could hit bigger. Davis is pretty solid.
I think we know exactly what we're getting with Davis.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like the Evans and Allen picks.
The other thing about Davis is that he's going to be there every down ball carrier, too.
Without question.
Where I don't know. He's going to get 15 carries a game. I don't know that ATN's going to get 15
carries a game. No. That's the beauty of him. I think he knows
and I think they'll catch a similar number of passes.
I'll bet on it. I mean, ATN will have more big plays.
He'll have more big plays, but I'll bet when you look at it at the end, they both 70 catches.
Yeah. Davis is cool.
And I know he's going to be their short yard. He's probably end up being a short yard guy, too.
He will.
They don't have anybody
else.
They
have no competition for him at all.
Yeah. That doesn't mean that they can't change between
too,
yeah they,
on the cheap
big time. All right, so we're cruising down here now. We still don't have a tight end.
Okay.
At this point, I don't know that that's.
Yeah, we might have to take two kind of high.
The top backs available now: Damian Harris.
That's interesting.
Melvin Gordon, Chase Edmonds, Ronald Jones. The top suggestion.
I might take Edmonds over Harris. Though.
The top suggestion for us is now Robert Tonyan. The Aaron Rodgers news that he's back.
I'm not biting on Robert Tonyan.
Double digit touchdowns again.
Yeah.
That's Rodgers' boy.
Who's the other tight ends?
That's Rodgers' boy.
It is. That's big. They don't have a real good number two receiver.
They
obviously.
Don't. It's Tonyan, Higbee, Logan Thomas, Mike Gesicki.
I would take Thomas over.
I would take Logan Thomas there, too. But Tonyan's, his value is going to start back up again.
He's going to start moving up, no doubt.
You want to take Logan Thomas here, or do you want to wait?
I would consider
we could
Chase
probably
Edmonds
wait.
Too.
Let me see what else is available here. Let's see what the wide receiver position is. How about Jerry Jeudy?
I love Jeudy.
Robbie Anderson, Brandon Cooks, Will Fuller.
One of those. Jeudy would
let's
be
take
my
a
pick.
Shot on Jeudy.
Yeah. And then hopefully this guy doesn't take a
He
tight
gives
end.
Us some upside potential. Like we don't have the big I mean, Mike Evans is a deep threat.
Jeudy could hit.
Yeah.
So this dude's gonna make two picks.
He took Damian Harris and Trey Sermon. Well, he's having a good draft.
Yeah, that's not bad. Sermon's somebody I would have considered in this neighborhood, too.
Yeah.
This is a dice roll.
He went receiver at the end of the first round. He's loading up on backs.
No, it's an interesting strategy. It seems like he's a good team. Do you want to do Logan Thomas?
We'll take Logan Thomas here.
Mm-hmm.
We may end up getting both of those guys. We might get Tonyan in the next one.
Yeah, which would be fine.
And we're cruising back down here. And we're back up.
We don't have a quarterback yet,
Robert Tonyan is still on. At this point, we're in round nine. The top guys available at quarterback, Ryan Tannehill, Matthew Stafford, Joe Burrow, Matt Ryan.
They're all kind of the same to me, but maybe we should take one with our next pick.
We probably should take two here just to be.
Right. Stafford or Burrow?
I'm looking at bye weeks. Tannehill's off in week 13. Stafford is off in week 11. Burrow's off in week 10. So we can take – you want to take Stafford here and Burrow with the next pick?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't mind that. I think Stafford could blow up.
I think Stafford could have a huge year.
Yeah. Okay.
He runs a little too.
We're back up again. Do we take Burrow here?
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
That way we're covered. If Burrow's not ready to start at the beginning of the season, then he comes out and he's got receivers all over the field.
I think we'll have a top 10 quarterback. I don't know if we'll have a top 5 one, but I think we'll have a top 10 one.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
Okay, we're up at 11-11 here. And the top running back still available, Philip Lindsay, Alexander Mattison, Nyheim Hines, Tariq Cohen. Nyheim Hines actually finished, I believe, second last year in running back catches.
He's going to catch a ton of ball. I mean, Rivers is the dump-off to running back champ of the world. I mean, Wentz won't do it as much, but Hines is going to eat into Taylor's receptions heavy. He's useful. He's a flex. I mean, he's never going to win the league for you.
Right. Just looking at the other backs available here. Boy, there's just not much.
I bet.
Just not much available. Although Giovanni Bernard is available.
Yeah, I think he'll be their receiving back, too.
I think you wait on that, though. I don't think he's going anywhere anytime soon.
They're kind of the same.
The receiver position is Aguilar, Gabriel Davis, Jalen Reagor, John Brown. I don't love any of that. Tight end. Robert Tonyan is still there.
No, I'd grab him, yeah.
Let's take him.
Move that camp battle between the tight ends.
Yeah.
It's always good for.
We're back up at 12-12 here now. Now, this is our last. What we got? 13. 14.
Our last position player.
Last position player. Now, I think if you're going to take.
One of those receiving backs, maybe?
A shot at a receiving back, I think. Now you make.
I'm not big on three quarterbacks, but what about Lance or Fields? The roster cloggers, though.
Yeah. That's one that I think you can make the move.
I don't think Fields will go this late in most drafts. And we do that trick a lot.
Yeah.
I think he's going to go like he's a starter.
I think you just take you take Giovanni Bernard here.
I like Bernard. Yeah. I'm absolutely fine with that.
Let's take
I've been targeting him all offseason.
And we're moving down now to round 13. Actually, we got a pick left here. Now, if you want
to. Oh, yeah, we got okay.
So if you want to take Justin Fields here, we could.
That'd
do
be
that.
Fine.
I don't often take three quarterbacks.
No, I don't like to, but his upside's really enticing to me. And even Lance late.
And now we take
a defense. Don't have a lot of time, but I here's a strategy I heard for quarterback that I really liked is Kirk Cousins has a really outstanding first six games of opponents, soft as could be. Take Fields or Lance and Cousins, and you get those guys super cheap. I think that's a really good idea.
All right, the defense is available. Indianapolis, San Francisco, Buffalo, New England.
New England.
Over San Francisco?
Buffalo would be my second choice, even.
Actually, okay. We'll take New England here. And now it's kicker time.
Oh, boy. That's your specialty.
Why is that my specialty now?
Because I don't want to do it.
You got to have one. Although I wouldn't mind getting a rule this year to just get rid of the kicker altogether.
I've been pushing for that in all my leagues. And once in a while I get them verified. But
the top guy available here is Rodrigo Blankenship. His bye week is in 14. He kicks indoors. He's the pick.
That's the guy.
That's easy enough. All right. Ooh, they didn't like our draft.
Really?
We got a D.
Wow, we've been scoring well lately.
We got a D. 66 out of 100.
They may not look at Harris as a first-round pick.
Kyle Yates, who hates our drafts every time, he gives a 58.
Wow, that's a fail.
That's a fail.
Right.
We got a C from Dan Harris, 70 out of 100. Mike Taglieri gave us a 69 out of 100. Joe Pasapia gave us a C minus 70 out of 100. Just looking here, we liked what was going on.
I wonder if they just didn't like Harris as a that high pick.
Team 12 took Tyreek Hill, Devontae Adams, CeeDee Lamb with their first three picks. Came back with Daryl Henderson, Javonte Williams, Damian Harris, Trey Sermon as a running.
He really needs two of those four to hit.
Yeah.
You know, week one could be rough, but his receivers are obviously loaded.
His tight ends are Irv Smith and Tyler Higbee.
Yeah, that's not ideal.
That's not great.
He's not great.
He's got Russell Wilson as quarterback.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind Wilson.
Yeah, so interesting draft. There were five teams that took running back, as we did. It was Derrick Henry, Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Nice.
In the two spot. Seven spot was Barkley and Jacobs. The eight spot was Ezekiel Elliott and Antonio Gibson. The 10 spot was Chubb and Mixon. We took Harris and Ekeler.
I'd rather have our two than any of those other pairings.
Yeah.
I think Ekeler is going to be a first-round pick.
I mean, Evans, Keenan Allen, Deontay Johnson, not real sexy, but
it's consistent.
I know what the production is going to be.
A lot of targets, yeah. Right.
So I don't hate the team.
It's not super high upside.
I don't love it, yeah. Right. We don't have the upside that we've had with some of our other teams that we've drafted. But that is going to do it for the Fantasy Football Focus and this show. So for my partner, Matt Williamson, for Kellen Gursky here on site, keeping us on the air, I'm Dale Lally. We'll be back tomorrow, but don't you go anywhere because Williamson and Wolf are going to follow us up right here after
that.
So you can hear that right here on these very airwaves. We'll talk to you tomorrow here on The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio.